I'm absolutely delighted to have with me now Morgan and Garrett. They are doing something really quite amazing. As part of Climate Journey, they've cycled all the way from Vermont in New England in the US, and they're going to be traveling through to Paris for COP21, the Climate Change Conference, which we are all very much looking forward to. And I'm really fortunate to have them with me now as they are here in the UK. Hi, Morgan. Hi, Garrett.
Hello.
Hello.
Brilliant for you to be on the show. Thank you so much for taking time of getting off your bike and having a chat with me this morning. Morgan, I was reading your sort of biography about what really started this movement as such and to start this particular project. It just happened at one night. Can you tell our listeners about, you know, how you felt that night and what's actually prompted you to take this journey together?
Absolutely. So I was living in a small cabin on the coast of Maine in the woods in the northeast of the US last winter. I was there teaching an alternative high school program. I was lucky enough to be teaching environmental issues and renewable energy, and living in there in the cabin working at the school was really my chance to slow down and reflect on my previous 4 years kind of not sleeping, not breathing, working as part of the youth climate movement. And I'd long been committed to this issue, and I'd flitted between different ways of approaching it. I studied engineering in university, and the deeper I got into my engineering studies, I realized that climate change isn't so much like a technological crisis, but more a cultural, political, social, spiritual crisis. And so the answer to me had come in the form of story. I'd realized that it wasn't going to be graphs or machines that moved us to take action, but it was really stories. And so I was sitting by my fire January 14th around 6 p.m. and I was knitting. I got really into knitting when I was living in the cabin. And I was reflecting on kind of the skills, privileges, and resources that I had at my disposal, and thinking about the fact that this Paris conference, COP21, is coming up, and it is the world government's kind of last chance to create a treaty that can shepherd us forward on climate action. And not knowing very much about it at the time, really, I knew that this was going to be a huge moment of movement mobilization and that somehow I could be part of that. So thinking about that Paris is coming up and thinking about the power of story, I just kind of decided to take a journey. And all in a moment, the visions kind of started coming together of bicycling and storytelling. And my housemate Nate walked in about 15 minutes later and was like, "Hey, Morgan, what's up?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to bicycle to Paris." And he was like, "Morgan, like the Atlantic, it's in the way." And so that was the first challenge of many, was thinking about, is this project still worth doing if I have to fly over the Atlantic? And it was then that I was thinking about, yes, of course, like if those of us with dreams like this hold ourselves back for perfectionism, we're carrying the crisis solely on an individual's shoulders, which I don't believe we need to do. We need to be forming connections all around the world. And so I moved forward with the idea, and I quickly realized that storytelling was going to be much more powerful with a visual artist on board. And so I crafted an email which was like, wanted artists, climate activists, cyclists willing to throw themselves out into the world for 6 months, and that email made its way to Garrett.
So Garrett, you see this email, what was going through your mind at the time?
When I received the email, my jaw literally dropped for a moment, because it was for me the email that included parts of my life that put together like a puzzle, like the fact that the journey was going to Paris, where I had studied abroad for a year during my second year of college. The fact that it was about climate change, which I had been fully committed to for 2 years at the time. The fact that I was seeking a visual artist, and I had not studied art in school, but studied environmental science and policy, but knew that I deeply wanted to reconnect with art as a means of expression and as a means of social change. Right after college, and had applied to a few art programs actually in preparation for after graduation. So when I heard these things together and the cycling part, and I had done a biking and cycling project 2 years ago in the state of Maine in the US. And so it had all of these pieces that seemed really, really perfect for me. And so I ran back to my best friend's room in my residence hall where I was living, and I said, "Stephen, you will not believe this." And I brought him the email, and he said, "So you're doing it, right?" I might try to talk to her first. And so we typed, not having known each other at all, and it really clicked, and we decided to head out on this project after that.
Absolutely brilliant. Morgan, I mean, you're talking quite a lot there about reflection and about having that time to think about all the different elements that that comes into this, and you felt that storytelling was the one piece missing. Did you find, as you were sort of going along and doing all the different sort of activities within sort of the climate change movement, did you just feel that you sort of come to a certain point with those and you couldn't move any forward, and that's why stories sort of became the next thing for you?
Yeah, I think I'd definitely been involved with a lot of different things. I was really wrapped up in kind of sustainability initiatives at my college, where we were trying to, you know, up recycling rates and like get people to turn lights off and do all these kind of concrete things that involved nagging people for years. And I'd never really found kind of meaning in that. I'd never found that that was the way that we were going to build a community. And that more and more I realized that to kind of get to a better world, we have to be in it together. You know, we have to be envision and be believing in something. And the way to create community and way to create vision is through story. We have to move from the story that we have of the way we live right now to a story of the future that's more resilient, more sustainable, more loving as well. And so
it's like painting a picture, isn't it, as well? I mean, obviously, Garrett, you're talking about art. It's interesting between the two of you that you have those sort of complementary sort of skills in terms of the storytelling, which is much more obviously verbal, but then the art in terms of, like, it can be really quite quite moving and quite shocking, can't it, art, Garrett? I mean, you know, how do you feel that art has its part to play in this as well?
Yeah, I definitely think art has a really important part to play. And I think that we're seeing it in the movement, the desire to have art in at the UN conference. There's a large mobilization of artists who are producing work and who are reorienting their styles and their skills to make art for what Morgan was talking about, building a vision of our future that use art as a tool to bring us together and to inspire and motivate us, but also for us to give us some means of expression to deal with the grief and the pain that is very real about what we're experiencing in the world right now and what we will experience in the future. So I think all of this is so important and have an outlet. But the movement is showing its maturity and its growth, and that it's finally realizing that we need to fully change who we are as humans, and not just how many light bulbs we turn off, but we really need a complete orientation of our values and a new vision for the world.
It's an extremely important point you make there. And it's a difficult one, because I mean, as sort of climate activists and as individuals that deeply, deeply care, we take inward actually so much pain, but then you're able to then sort of, like, I suppose, turn that fuel into something that really positive, and to be able to not get stuck in that grief or not deny the grief as well. And yet we see that many people turn away from it. What do you think, Morgan, in terms of is the catalyst that can help people to start to, you know, I suppose, acknowledge it first of all, feel it, and then move beyond?
Yeah, this has actually been one of my favorite kind of points of learning of our journey. Is time and time again, we've heard from people that deciding to take action was the point at which their life utterly changed. That they went from just going along thinking things that would always be as they always were, and having taken that courageous step to join the movement or to start a campaign in the community or to gather their community around them to re-envision together, that suddenly gave them this meaning and purpose and joy that they'd been seeking for a really, really long time. So we kind of had the metaphor of a hill, of when you're on one side of the hill and it's raining on this side of the hill, and guys, you're being fed all this terrible news by the mainstream media, and you know, things seem very much alone. And you kind of start climbing the hill and you're like, okay, like I really believe in this. I believe we can do something. And sometimes you fall back down because it's really overcome that despair. But once you get to the top of the hill and you see the people on the other side that are doing things, that are actually taking action, once you've seen them, you can't go back down. Once you've felt part bigger than yourself, you'll still kind of oscillate between despair and hope. That hope will be a real, like, active hope that manifests what we want in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, something that I feel quite often, every day, in terms of, is that huge drive of, like, feeling when you're surrounded by people that are just doing fantastic things, and I think using their own skills in their own way. Garrett, do you feel the same in terms of that you feel that it's individuals all bringing their own sort of like expression of skills that's going to make a difference in this movement, rather than sort of like trying to direct everybody down one path?
Absolutely, and that's something that I've been trying to discover for myself, and that's what part of the what's at stake with this project is a part of for me to learn how I can combine art and social movements, and don't really know what I'm doing and trying to do my best at combining these worlds. Because I think that, I realized 2 summers ago during a fellowship program that I was on that it doesn't make sense for me to try to force myself to do something that I think would be impactful if it's not what I'm truly gifted at, or if it's not something I'm truly about. And I realized that art was something that I had been suppressing, and I thought that environmental science, like learning the state of the problem with climate change, that understanding the nature of it scientifically and politically and economically would make me an agent of change. And I quickly realized that art may have a more important role to play than I ever imagined. And that's what I embarked on. And a journey to discover what that could look like in the very beginning, I think. And I've had lots of revelations about what art could look like in the social movement, and utterly excited to engage with the art community in Paris around this huge mobilization of artists and few others are doing, and how we can feed on each other and plug in 2016.
Yes, it's a really interesting one. It's like that combining of skills, and it's about what's going to be. And things look differently, don't they? Like along the path. I don't know about you, but certainly for my journey, like this year has taken on lots of different sort of like routes, and you feel that you get so far, and then something changed. You have, as you said, a new understanding, almost like a deeper revelation, a deeper truth, and then that sets you on the next path. Do you think that, Morgan, that was something that that drove to this action now? And do you know what it's going to look like sort of post sort of COP21? Or is that the excitement, knowing not what's going to happen next?
Yeah, I think it's the excitement. You're right. I feel like I came into this journey with some of the feeling of I have absolutely no idea what to do next and set out into the world and meet people and experiences and until I feel the place where I'm most useful. And I feel like all of us are always at that point, it's this constant having no idea what we're doing, but then at the same time being guided by, like, we know exactly what we're doing. We're trying to build a world, and we're trying to bring people into that vision and create something together. And so I feel like I'm filled with like purpose and vision and the like somehow figure themselves out.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's about, there is that uncertainty, but the excitement and the possibility is something that just really sort of drives it forward, really. What, I mean, Garrett and Morgan, I mean, either you can answer this one, but for somebody that's sort of like, maybe stuck in their own sort of like job at the moment, feeling not particularly, sort of inspired, maybe quite depressed and scared really about some of the things that we're hearing now, what advice would you give to help somebody to make those first steps in towards sort of exploring how they can get involved in this movement?
There's I think lots of ways. I think we met this woman named Sarah in Manchester who started this project called One Day, Day One, and it's all about reimagining tomorrow as the day where we start creating the world, that we don't need to wait for someone else down the road to create the vision that we're so yearning for, that we are the ones that we've been waiting for, in fact, and we every bit of agency to make that ourselves. And I think it looks different for a lot of people, depending on where you are, what your community looks like. I think reaching out to you, talking to your community, is a great place to start, whether that's your physical neighborhood where you live, whether that's your church community, whether that's your knitting book club that meets every Thursday night, whether that's, you name it, under the sun. We all are part of these different communities, and we all have something to offer in regards to organizing and mobilizing for climate action. So I think starting in your community is a great place to start, and that can only lead to bigger and better things. You can, with the divestment movement, all of us have some investment in fossil fuels, whether that's an endowment, a pension fund, and our child's university endowment. There's loads of ways that we're connected to finances. And for both Morgan and I, has been a really powerful place to start mobilizing, is to organize for a divestment campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one tangible way and a really powerful tactic to bring people together for a common vision and something that's really tangible that we can do, and all of us are connected in some way. So that would be my suggestion of a great place for people to start.
Brilliant. No, that's very good advice, Garrett. And for you, Morgan, what would you recommend?
I think something that's been really meaningful for me is having mentors in my life, kind of finding those people who you look up to and who will nurture and support you. And that's, of course, easier said than done, but kind of dreaming about what's happening in your community and just go to the first meeting. You know, if there's a local chapter of Friends of the Earth, or there's someone organizing a anti-austerity concert, or whatever it is, just going along to that first meeting or the first event, and at the end going up to the person that organized it and saying, you know, thank you for doing this, how can I help next time? And putting yourself out there just that little bit and seeing how it feels to kind of step into that discomfort of meeting new people. And I always be amazed about the people you find and how much you can achieve together. And then once you've got that solid community and you've got those mentors, that's when you're going to begin to feel more and more confidence about yourself as an agent of change.
Excellent advice again. I mean, a couple of months ago I met a gentleman who's doing some great activity down in Boscombe, in South Coast, and he was talking about he had a vision of what he wanted to create, and there were people on board that then would come and support him in his vision of what he was trying to create in terms of this sort of great community garden space, and really redeveloping the whole area. And he said, what's interesting, that people will come and they'll say they'll support you because that's their first starting point. But then what's brilliant is each one of those individuals, something sparks in them. And then they also have like their own vision of what they want to do as well. And then, you know, sort of let them go. And then that creates the whole thing. So it's like it starts off with a little bud and it just develops from there. And I just thought it was so key. Once that sort of like that light is touched, I suppose, people just, it sparks something inside them. And they think, actually, I can do more.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening when you get to Paris.
So when we get to Paris, we'll be arriving on November 24th, so less than 2 weeks. And immediately we'll be part of the Conference of Youth, which is before UN conference itself. And we'll be giving talk with youth from around the world and focusing on the power of story. And one of the themes of the trip has been focusing on our own stories and being able to articulate that in a powerful and evocative manner of sorts, to try to invite people into the movement and create agents of change from your own story. We'll be doing that, and then the conference itself will be 2 weeks long, starting in December, and we will both be inside the conference with a U.S.-based youth delegation called Sustaina.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be lobbying negotiators, doing media work, doing small actions inside the conference to push for the strongest treaty that we can. But recognizing also that the treaty itself is not going to be enough, that we have the text already.
Yep.
We know what it's going to be. It's not going to keep us below the red line that our governments themselves have set for us, the 2 degrees warming being the most prominent red line. And so we're looking for December 12th, which is going to be a mass mobilization and call to nonviolent direct action. And so people from around Europe and around the world are gathering in Paris and in their own communities and are going to engage in civil disobedience and call to send a message to our world leaders that, in fact, this international process, though it might have some role to play in reducing emissions and building a better world, that it's not going to get us where we need to go and save us from catastrophic warming. So we are taking it into our own hands and showing people are the ones that, in fact, have the power, and we are the ones that are going to go back to our nations, back to our communities, and campaign and work in our communities to build the future that we want. And so we're really looking forward to that day as a real moment for the movement to send the message to the world that we are here and we are now and we are acting and we are powerful and we are so excited.
It's a huge message, Garrett. It really is. And it's, I mean, if I was, you know, the leader of the, you know, the America or the UK government, you know, to know that I had, like, you know, thousands of people that actually want to make that change, are prepared to make, you know, those adjustments to their lifestyle, to share, to teach, to learn, and to know that there are people that, like, can see a vision on the other side. You know what, I just want to, like, just release them from any pressures and need to campaign and just say, look, guys, get on with it. Because, you know, you can see something that we can't, and help us, you know, help us to get there. Because, you know, you guys have done the hard work of, like, you know, thinking through, you know, big, big issues, you know, having that time to reflect and exploring what all those possibilities are, knowing that we need to co-create this together. You know, really, for the government, it's quite easy, isn't it? Just, like, release this amazing energy, support them in any way you can, and, you know, anything's possible, isn't it?
Anything is possible. I think realizing that is part of the first step, that we are creating the world that we want, and essentially there are no rules. We've only created them for ourselves, and we can change the rules at any moment. And that's a really big moment to realize. For everyone,
totally. It's been a huge pleasure talking with both of you this morning. I just feel, I mean, every time I speak to people that are in this movement, it just re-energizes and drives you, want to do more. I know once you get together with all the youth across the world, it's just a massively powerful force. I'm sure you're going to come back totally energized. How can people you know, follow you on your journey, and how are you going to be sharing this information, Morgan? You know, what can people do to keep in touch?
Yeah, so our project is Climate Journey, and we're climatejourney.org, the website, and at Climate Journey. Twitter, and we're Climate Journey on Facebook, and we're posting things all the time, and we'd love to hear from people, whether it's you happen to be along our way or just want to send us a story or say hello, please do. We'll definitely respond.
Perfect. Well, I wish you every success, both on the rest of your journey, and can't wait to hear about all your adventures in Paris and about all the great movements going to be coming from that. So thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.